So I saw myself walking on my timeline counterclockwise, and I'm looking over the edge. Now, on my timeline, it's almost made out of marble, okay? And I'm looking over the edge, and I don't know how far it is, but down a long ways, I start seeing these mountains pop up. I'm going, well, maybe this has to do with whenever I got saved. So I started walking counterclockwise down the timeline, on and on, and every now and then I would see a little rock pop up out of the marble floor. And that's what I would have to pray about. And I had to go back about 18 years, and I'm standing in front of this mountain, and it goes all the way down my timeline. And I'm going, what do I do with this? I can't climb over it, it's too high. And it felt like the Lord said, you need to break a covenant with death. Because when I was very young, I said I didn't want to live past the age of 40, not realizing that was a covenant I made with death. So he said, break the covenant. So I broke the covenant. As soon as I broke the covenant, I started seeing, and it was almost like I could feel the vibrations because these mountains just started crumbling down. And after a couple of minutes, it was pretty much solid marble all the way down. Every now and then, I would have to pray about something in my past to get rid of these little rocks that was breaking up through the marble floor.
Very cool. And I think, Ed, correct me if I'm wrong, but Ed was sharing that story with me earlier in the week. And just to equate that to the lifespan spiral, if I'm not mistaken, you were saying that you hit a brick wall at that particular layer that you had made that death covenant at, and that's what you had to end up breaking. But it was on that layer of the year that he had done that. So just, again, it was really cool just to see that correlation that he actually, when he was going down the spiral, encountered it on that layer. So it was cool. Anybody else? Testimonies are really powerful. Yeah, Virginia.
It was cool when I prayed through it. Instantly, I saw, and it kind of caught me off guard because it wasn't what I expected to see, but I saw myself in Queen's garments, and then the Lord started just showing me this is the season I'm in, and he'd been speaking a lot to me about that before, but I totally wasn't expecting it to show up in the time spiral thing. And what my spiral looked like was spiral stairs, and I was wearing this Queen dress, like this big thing that was really beautiful and gold and everything, but underneath it was red. It was the blood of Jesus. So like every step was a year, and the blood of Jesus like cleansed like everything. And so it was really cool because he didn't bring up anything that I hadn't already prayed through before, but I did see, I really realized as I was praying through the different years, it's like you could sense, oh, that still has a sting to it. I thought I had dealt with that. And I was like, okay, well, there's still a there, so I need to go back. Just because I had prayed through it before, it was like, oh, that showed me I needed to hit that thing again. And that was cool. And then what Ed shared about going counterclockwise, the week before you shared your revelation was the night that I had the encounter where I went in the tent. I don't know if you guys remember, but the Lord took me when we were here. I went inside this tent, and I saw this menorah, and I was dancing around it, but I was dancing counterclockwise, and it bothered me because I remember one time Bob Jones said, well, God portals are clockwise and demonic ones are counterclockwise, so it kind of freaked me out a little bit. So I wrote in my journal, I'm like, Lord, why am I going counterclockwise around that portal? I mean, around the menorah. And then the next week, you shared that that's backwards. So he was showing me that I was dancing down my timeline. So it was cool.
You sure? You want to share?
I don't know that I really encountered a lot of things. And I really didn't know. I felt like I didn't know what I was doing, but I would just, you know, go down. When I started it, the Lord showed me something, and the line of Judah was with me. And so he showed me something that had to come out. And it was like a big stump of some kind, you know, and so he gave me a scarlet thread, a scarlet rope, and I tied it around, and then we both pulled on that scarlet rope, and it came out. After that, I went down the spiral, and I really wasn't encountering very much. And so what I did is I went down like maybe 20 years or something to that effect. And I stopped at 40. And all of a sudden after I was just kind of, thanking the Lord and just praying it through. And he said, I want you to go to Psalm 40. So I went to Psalm 40. And he had a word for me. And then the next time I did it, I went down another 20 years. And I stopped at 20. And he said, I want you to go to Psalm 20. And I had, something else. So it was really cool. I'm not through yet.
That's very cool. Thanks for sharing that. And sometimes you won't encounter something. I mean, there's times that, he doesn't want, maybe there's not something specific that he wants you to deal with at that moment. And so when you're going down through there, you might not encounter something specific, but just continue to do it. And like I was talking about, of just, he showed me the bucket with the mop and just mopping the blood of the lamb down the spiral. Sometimes that's all he wants you to do, for that moment. Anybody else? Testimonies are faith builders for other people. Yep, there you go.
Mine's not super crazy, but last week when you were sharing, I was sitting in the foyer, and like I said up there, I have something on my plate that's number one on the to-do list, so this encountering this, it will be like number two once I'm done with the first thing. But I was like talking to Holy Spirit, like, whoa, can I like see it or whatever? And what was the type of triangle called you had on the diagram last week?
The tetrahedron. Tetrahedron.
Tetrahedron, yes. And there was a portal in the bottom of it beneath the first spiral. So he let me poke my head up through that portal and check it out and see what it looked like. And I was within the top tetrahedron looking at everything. So I didn't have any work to do at the moment, but I did get to see it. So that was pretty cool. And he was like, I'll bring you back when it's time. And I was like, okay.
That's cool. That portal right there is the ancient gate that we were talking about last week. So he was showing you where you're at the foundation where your true identity is. So he's showing you sitting in your true identity, opening up as the gate, and then you were getting to look up at the beginning of time. That's cool. Anybody else? No? Okay. Well, I don't really have too much planned for tonight. I kind of went back and forth. Oh. Connie? Come on, Connie. You've been called out.
I was only doing it because no one was volunteering. I've had a couple of experiences on the time spiral. The first one was, it was a slide, and I slid down all the way to the foundation, and because I have this thing with creation that I want to see it and participate and all that back then, and I'm pausing a little bit because I don't want to say too much. And so I got to watch Adam being formed and God breathing into him and him coming to life. And that was very cool because I got to get a taste of what is one of my heart's desires. But when I saw Adam and the whole thing of this whole time spiral thing I think God's doing for us is us recognizing our true identity. And Shane has expressed that several times. But when I saw Adam, the nanoseconds that things happen in the realm of the spirit, I saw me. And then I went in back into Adam and came out. So he was showing me the whole thing about how I was in Adam before the fall. And that was my true identity. And that was very cool. And then my next experience, when I was down there, I kind of peeked into the other realm, and it was just dark. And I was thought, well, what's going on with that? And then I inquired, and he said that was the dark cloud of the Lord that surrounds the Lord, and shared it with Shane, and we were like, oh yeah, physics would explain that's why, because the created light and the creative light are clashing there, and it creates this darkness, and we're traveling at such a high rate of speed that it appears dark. And then my next encounter was I had gone, I knew something was going on inside of me, like emotionally, because I was just being wretched. And just emotionally, kind of everything was heightened, and I was, and I always know something's going on, like, okay, it's time to deal with something. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to go down the time spiral, let's see where I go. And I wound up in my teenage years. And I thought, oh, there could be a lot there. And there were just several little events that I had to really deal with. And just, you know, went through your whole thing of repentance. And then the Lord goes, well, what else do you need to do here? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, yeah, you do. You've been listening to some things. What have you been listening to? And I said, the breath. And he said, right. And I had been practicing the Yod, He, Vah, He. And then the breath, and I saw when he breathed into Adam how he breathed life. And then Adam did the same thing when he saw the animals. He breathed life when he named them, and they became living. And he said, now do that in your world. And I said, okay. And I mean, and I'm so, it's just so childlike, because you're like, you know, I'm looking like an idiot here, you know, because you don't know what you're doing, and you're like, you know, hope nobody's watching. And so I just started breathing out the Yod, He, Vah, He thing. And it started reshaping everything that I had been praying about. And he said, you don't know what you're doing, do you? And I said, obviously not, because one, you're asking me, so that means I don't. And he said, you are recreating your world the way I recreated the earth. And he said, you need to learn to breathe life, my life, the Spirit of God, into every situation. So I'm going back up my timeline into going through every year of my life, and he's having me breathe over it to reorder, bringing order into my life and my world that I've created in chaos, because I just didn't know any better. And he said, after that, then I get to enter into the dark cloud and what's on the other side. So that was pretty fun.
Connie, you want to mention what you were talking to me about earlier with Job 31 and the remembering?
Oh, yeah.
That was really cool.
I don't know. It was several years ago. The Lord had, was it 31? 31, 38, do you remember? Was it Job 31?
I think it's 31, but I could be wrong.
I'll have to look it up. But basically, God and Job are having a conversation, and he keeps asking Job, don't you remember? You were here when I formed the stars, and you were here when all these things were happening. And he makes this statement, and he says, basically, act like a man. And that's his way of telling Job, it's time to grow up and recognize you are a son of God, and you were here when all these things were taking place. Now remember who you are. And that, I believe, is how the sons of God come forth, is that we remember who we are. So if you want to read Job, whatever, is it 38? Yeah, it's 38. Yeah. It's Job 38. So if you just read that in the context of where what we're learning now, because how we used to read it was he would, every time he would ask Job a question, we, because we couldn't comprehend what we have knowledge of now, we would answer all the questions no. Like, weren't you there when the stars were created? No. But we were, because we were in Adam. And when we come outside of our 3D world and recognize we're in multi dimensions and time and space are very different, then you can answer those very differently, and it gives us a whole different perspective on who we really are.
Yeah, and that's really important to remember there because, like we talked about last week, us being the fourth face of the tetrahedron, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three sides, the Trinity, form up the fourth face, which is the foundation, which is us. We were there in the beginning, just like we talked about last week. It's all about remembering who we are, who He created us to be before the foundation of the world. And so, I really, to be honest with you, I didn't even put two and two together until Connie was like, man, how does that Job 38 fit into that? You know, she would start talking about the remembering. I was like, wow, that's perfect. That's exactly what he was talking about there, is we were created, we were there. Our true identity was there before the foundation of the world. So we were there when he was creating the stars. So, like I was saying, I don't have too much planned for tonight. All week I was kind of going back and forth of possibly going to share a little bit more, just, you know, 15, 20 minutes, a little bit deeper into the tetrahedron and that stuff. But I really felt like that it just wasn't time yet to talk further into that, that the Holy Spirit just really wanted to let the last 2 weeks just kind of seed in and let us just water those things. And you know, we covered a lot of ground really fast in the last couple of sessions. So tonight really was just about anybody who wanted to share testimonies, and then if anybody has any questions, and then we'll probably just pray through it just to activate some of this stuff. So on the questions, if I know the answer, I'll answer it. If Holy Spirit wants me to answer it, and if I don't, I'll tell you I don't know, and it's okay not to know. I'll tell you that, and then we'll just come into agreement in prayer, and then we'll let Holy Spirit reveal it as He sees fit. So with that, if anybody has any questions, we'll do that now. And like Sean said earlier, the people are starting to download this and listen to them on the podcast the first 2 weeks. And so I guarantee you, no matter how silly you think your question is, probably someone else in the room has the same question, or somebody listening to the podcast is going to have the same question. So it doesn't matter what the question is. Ask it anyway. Oh, boy. All right, Ed.
No, let her go first.
Okay, my question is, when you go down and you say you see yourself down there, what are you doing? I mean, what are you doing? Seeing yourself doing, I guess, when you look down there.
When I, in the original vision, when I first encountered it, I wasn't doing anything. I went down to the bottom of the spiral, and I just saw a being of light, and he was sitting, or the being, he couldn't really tell because it was just a ball of light, but it was sitting there on the foundation, and it was sitting there more in like a meditative type position, and it wasn't moving. And I had asked the Father, you know, who is that or what is that? And that's when he started telling me that that's me, that's my true identity, that's who I was. And so as I was re-engaging that over the next, you know, week or so, when I would get down there, I would just start speaking to my identity and would just start saying, to telling it to wake up and start moving it around. So I'd be in the spirit with my eyes closed, and I would just start moving my shoulders and, you know, moving my head, lifting up my head, and slowly just becoming aware that that was me, and then coming into an awakening position, you know, awakening my identity up, stretching, standing up. And that's really when he started getting into the lift up your heads, all you gates, is saying, look, your gate's asleep. Your true identity is asleep right now. It's not, you're not activating it. So start activating it. Start waking it up. Start lifting up its head. So that's how I encountered it. You have a smirk on your face. That's not good.
Yeah, sorry, Shane. My question basically deals, it's multi-layer, okay? It has to do with time, has to do with Adam. Now, time, as far as we know it, started whenever Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, right?
Well, God created time at creation. He created the sun and the moon, the stars. He put them in place. He put an orbit in place. So at creation, he created the construct of time.
Right, but as far as man is concerned about it, we only go back 7,000 years.
Well, we go back to when he created Adam.
Right. So I was thinking, if the Garden of Eden is an extension of heaven, and if heaven is timeless, then the amount of time that they spend in the garden is timeless. So looking at Adam's timeline, okay, his timeline is going to look different from ours because part of his timeline is actually taking place in a timeless environment. And whenever he came out of the garden, and that's whenever the time spiral started for him. So, yeah, we basically have that time. What actually, the time that he spent in the garden, how does it affect his life spiral?
Well, you're talking about two different dimensions.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So, the spiral that we're currently in here, you're correct, doesn't start until the fall. Okay, that's when the corrupted or the distorted version of time happened, because that's when original sin entered the picture. That's when man was kicked out of the garden. So the time spiral that we're in now is the corrupted one. Before that, Adam was in that true created dimension. Okay? That still has a time spiral in it, because it's still the spirit realm and the natural realm as God created this universe, for lack of a better word, are merged over the top of each other. He still created the time, but it was pure time, and man wasn't enslaved to it, kind of like what we talked about last week. So it's two different spirals that you're referring to. Did I answer it, or you want me to go deeper? Is that good? Okay. Bob, you have to have a question or a comment or something. Okay. Yeah.
Hi. So I'm new to this church, and I'm actually new to the whole concept of everything that you're talking about. So this is all brand new. But I have had, God has given me visions before, and it's not really anything that I've tried to control. It's just, He's just given me these visions, but I have a hard time. I tried to do the spiral thing. I tried to go back into my time spiral, but I have a hard time engaging in a visualization where I'm in control of it. I have a hard time staying focused, or I don't really know. I didn't really go anywhere with it. It didn't seem very productive for me. So is there any suggestions, or how do I get better at it, I guess?
Well, the first thing is just practice. Practice, practice, practice. So any time, whether it's just practicing enter into the spirit, I know Ian Clayton does one of his ways that he teaches people is just, picture a door, or actually just go to your house, get a door, and then just practice open the door, stepping in, stepping out, closing the door, and just doing that. It really helps if you have something in the natural as an anchor to keep your focus and to help you as you're going into the spirit. So whether it be practicing going in and out of a door, that's why I created these visuals here to kind of help everybody visualize that spiral and walking down. So I my only suggestion is just to keep entering in, and ask Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to interact with this? How do you want me to move down the spiral? And then just close your eyes and just envision one of these slides, and just see this pile in front of you and just start walking down. And you really don't have to do anything. Just, in your imagination, just picture yourself walking and just say, Holy Spirit, by faith, I'm just walking down this spiral. And it might take a little bit of practice of just doing that, and then nothing might happen, but then reengage it and just keep doing that. And I promise you, he'll meet you in it, and it'll start opening up, and he's going to start showing you things. And kind of like Virginia was saying earlier with her vision with the dress, with the the blood at the bottom of it, like mine with the bucket and the blood, just start pleading the blood of Jesus and just start there. And just, you know, envision yourself walking down and just say, you know, Father, by faith, I'm walking down my spiral, and I just plead the blood of Jesus over this layer. And, you know, maybe you only do 3 or 4 layers. You know, you don't have to, it's not a race. So hopefully that helped a little bit.
Is it okay if I just respond, a comment real quick in response to what she shared? One thing that I've just found from my own personal experience is, as I've matured and grown, I've found that there was kind of a progression. Like when I was first learning about the things of the Spirit and first starting to see, the encounters that I had were more just kind of out of the blue, like God-initiated kind of ones. But what I've found as I've grown and matured is that now it's kind of both. Now sometimes it's like, you know, it'll be like that. But other times it's like he's letting me now initiate that. So I think it's just something that maybe progresses as we grow and mature. He lets us start to co-labor with him because we're maturing in the things of the Spirit. And I think another thing too is because this involves just using our sanctified imagination as the gateway. So it's a little bit different. I mean, when God gives us a vision, yes, we do see it. You know, we do use our imagination, but this is a little bit different because we're kind of starting there. So I know, I think with me personally, as I've done more work in my soul, as far as just the transformation of my mind and the cleansing of those gateways and the cleansing of my imagination, it's been easier and easier for me to go there using my imagination. Because that's a tool that God has given us. But it's like if there's still mixture and there's stuff we haven't worked through yet, it can sometimes it can be the Lord even kind of holds us back until we mature to that place. And he almost like he's kind of Lord of that until we're ready to steward it more. So if it's just if there's not grace on the initiating of that, then it's okay. You know, just be led and, you know, be true to where, you know, where he has you and what he's leading you to do.
So I wasn't here last week, so I don't know if you went into any prayers at all. But like when you get to generational stuff, I know I was hung up on, you know, praying through that right and wanting to cover, you know, more like my son with it also, and even my father before me. And if that's something... You know, then I'm like, gosh, am I getting distracted? Should I just stay on me right now and then I'll do another one? And, you know, so I'm just a little confused about if you encountered any, you know, if you did a prayer that encompassed all that or if you stuck on your own feel.
No, in the individual spiral, which is what we've been talking about, it's really all about redeeming you. So after you get past conception and you start getting into the generational lines, then it's really just again letting Holy Spirit guide you through that and breaking the things off of you that are in your generations that's going to allow you to get to your true identity of who you are. Now, with that said, you can engage it with your son. Like, I engage the spiral, my son's spiral with him. And so I sit him down, and I do the prayer because he's younger. He's only 7. So I'll start praying with him. But I explain it to him, and I say, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to see this spiral coming down in front of you. We're going to start walking down. I explain the layers to him. And I get him to visualize that with me as I'm praying. And so then I start with Seth, and I say, okay, we're going to start at layer 7, which is his current age. And we're just going to start praying. And if anything pops up as we're praying, I want you to tell me so we can deal with it as it comes up. So the first couple of times I did this with him, it was pretty intense. And he started seeing stuff coming out of his spiral. And so the first time, I started at layer 7, started praying with him. I explained it. We start walking down. we get to layer five. And again, I'm just pleading the blood of Jesus, you know, just kind of covering him in that. We get to layer five, and he stops me, and he's like, "Dad, Dad, Dad." And I was like, "What?" And he said, "I saw a demon popped out." And I said, "A demon popped out?" And he said, "Yeah, it popped out. It growled at me, and it took off. It said that it couldn't stay. It took off." And so just in praying with that and through Holy Spirit on layer five there, because he had been battling fear really heavy for a couple of years, and in just praying through it and being led by Holy Spirit on his fifth year, his fifth layer, there was some open stuff there that had allowed that fear to attach itself to that layer, and it had still had been manifested at seven. So, and we've had some other experiences like that, and just so you can do that with your kids and with other people. You know, there's been some other testimonies of others praying through it and that are really getting some freedom from some of that stuff. So I definitely would encourage you to pray over your kids, the spiral. And you got something else?
I guess, you know, like a couple of the things that I came upon, mine were weeds kind of, and I felt like, you know, that I guess maybe even from some other ministry I've been through, that that it was generational that made me act like that or whatever, you know, it was a trait that had come. And so, you know, I pulled it up and you know, sprinkled blood over it and that. But then my mind wanted to set, to go into this whole generational prayer. And even though, you know, that was all, it seemed like it was smoothed over there and that. And I was just confused, like, you know, like I said, do I go deeper with a prayer here or do I just move on down here? And so, I would.
Well, I think, again, and we did talk a little bit about that last week, but I've been involved with some other ministries too that do the same thing. You know, you're praying more of a generic bloodline prayer or a generic generational prayer that's going to set you free from all this stuff. And in my own personal experience, there's some freedom there, but it doesn't go deep enough. So you can pray some of those things and experience a level of freedom, but to really get to where we're talking about, which is before mother, before father, before genealogy, it really needs to go deeper. Now, with that said, when I come across something on a layer, once you've dealt with it, then it should be done, and it should be dealt with. Now, that's not saying there might not be another similar root deeper. So if I'm experiencing anger, you know, and I get down to one of my generational layers and realize that this is a generational root, I might deal with it on this particular generational layer and experience freedom and then continue to go deeper, and then I might encounter it again deeper down. You know, it's just it's a different level of, yeah, so.
You said individual spiral, right? Mm-hmm. Well, just by you emphasizing individual, that prompted me with a question.
Lay it on me, Ed.
That means that there must be others. Rather than an individual, it may have, you know, it may be called different things. And then also, I'm like, this deals with more like the with a natural. Do we also have a spiritual spiral that's similar to this, but it is drawn up differently, even though this spiral will contain some spiritual significance?
Okay, first part of the question first. Yes, there's many more spirals. And I'm going to put a caveat with this statement. This is how I understand it today. This might change next week as the Father reveals more of it to me. So I have the right to come back and say something different later and change my mind. But as I understand it today, each of us have our own individual spiral, and that's really what the Father wants us to focus on, because that gets us down to before mother, before father, before genealogy, our true identity. And that allows us, as an ancient gate, to open up and to go into the other dimension, which is your second part of your question. So we all have individual spirals. Each dimension, the way I understand it right now, each dimension has its own master spiral, okay? Inside of that master spiral, everything inside of that dimension is going to have a spiral. So, you know, the galaxies, the planets, all of creation, all has individual spirals inside of a master spiral. That goes from dimension to dimension to dimension. So you add all that up, I mean, there's countless spirals. Now, once we encounter our individual spiral and we get down to this point here, which is our true identity, okay, that's the ancient gate, lift up your heads, we talked about last week, and then you go into this secondary dimension here, which is the true reality. That's the realm of the manifested sons. That's the dimension that I was calling the true created dimension last week. There still is a time spiral in this dimension because, again, it's the dimension that Adam walked in, okay, before the fall. It was the spirit and the natural merged on top of each other. God still created time. But again, here, we're enslaved to time in this spiral. This spiral is corrupt. In this spiral down here, we're not enslaved to time. And we're before mother, before father, before genealogy, before original sin. So we're evolving as we come up our spiral instead of de-evolving as we come up our spiral. Now, with that being said, we're in the Father, okay? The Father exists outside of time. So when we're in the Father, the Father is omnipresent. So when we're in the Father, we can be omnipresent. We exist outside of the spiral. So our spirit man, we talked a little bit about that, when our spirit man is transferred from darkness to light, okay, our spirit man is doing kingdom business right now while our human consciousness is here. So our spirit is not bound by time. He's not bound by the time spiral. Did that answer it? Are you? I could sit here all night with Ed.
Do you feel at some point after we're fully manifested sons that the corrupt time spiral will be destroyed? Destroyed?
Well, it ultimately will with the millennial reign. He was asking me, say it louder one more time.
I was asking at some point after we become fully manifested sons, when the kingdom of heaven is fully manifested on earth, will the corrupt time spiral be destroyed?
And again, I think destroyed might not be the right word, but it's going to be redeemed, in my opinion. I think when the whole reasoning behind a manifested son and reaching that true identity in the other is, again, to open up the gates to release the glory of the Lord into this dimension, into this corrupt realm. That's, in my opinion, what Jesus is waiting on for us to lay that foundation so the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth like the waters cover the sea, and to have that be a foundation to house his return at the millennial reign. I think, and that's going to be the manifested son's role. It's terraforming the earth. Not only terraforming the earth, but I'll throw this one out there and then let y'all suck on this for a while, but it's terraforming this entire dimension. Okay, it's terraforming everything. The planets, the solar systems, the galaxies, the whole thing. But once, I believe, once the millennial reign happens and the kingdom is established here, then again, we'll still be existing in time because that's the construct for this dimension. but it's going to be a redeemed time. It'll be the two worlds merged again. It'll be this dimension right here.
Last experience, well, not the last one, but going back up my time spiral, he was letting me practice about recreating and terraforming my world first, then the this outward world. So I do think that's part of what we're going to be doing, is once we see who we are and understanding that, then that's when we are able to recreate and do a new framework of our world, our own world.
Yeah, and that's exactly this this last slide here. So all this is the first slide flipped over. But here, this is the natural realm that we're existing in now. You know, this is a de-evolving process as we come up currently. But once we reach this zero point, which Connie had saw before, and we come into this spiral, now we're coming back up. We're coming back up through our spiral, but we're coming back up with it, again, already understanding our true identity, and like Connie's saying, we're terraforming our time coming back up.
Hey, I want to just share something real quick, because what I'm sensing with... just with where we're at, not only with this, but what God's been doing over the last couple months, is we've been focusing on the restoration of the soul and just beginning to realize that we can go into the kingdom, heaven is real, we can go now and do stuff with God. But a lot of the focus has been for us to understand the process and the finished work of the cross within us as it pertains to our soul fully entering into rest. And so, like with this revelation right here, I still believe the focus for us is to continue to let Father reveal where we're at in that process, so that we can just be faithful and steward to continue to walk this out with Him, so we can allow Him to bring us into that place of restoration. So what I'm sensing is I've said it a couple times here, of just that we are kings and lords, and Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So this right here is us understanding what it means to be a lord. In the context, or for us as a definition of what a lord is simply, for me, it is us governing our soul. Okay, so that's us growing up into that place of lordship. We're still under the influence and power of Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Trinity, but it's a maturity, and we're going to accept responsibility of our life and of our soul and governing our soul. And then from there, whether this is the last piece of revelation that God gives us pertaining to the soul, it's possible, but I just see us beginning to transition into a place of the kingly, where God is going to begin to open up mysteries, and God is going to begin to open up the understanding of what it means for us to be kings and what that looks like. And then as kings is when that terraforming and all the other stuff, like us sitting in the heavens in a city, and because of who we are in the Spirit, and with understanding and maturity and knowledge and wisdom, we're sitting in the Spirit, in a city, in a region, and now God has given us the ability to push darkness out of this region. So that's where I see us transitioning beyond this, is beginning to transition into God beginning to reveal to us what it looks like and what it means for us to be kings and to take our place as we continue to take our place and to begin to exercise the dominion and power and rule and reign of a king in the earth, because that's what we've been given, but we're having to grow into that. And so I really believe the last 2 years here at All Things Restored has been just us pounding and stewarding and allowing God to reveal to us just all of the dynamics of what it means to be spirit, soul, and body, and to really allow him to fully restore our soul so that we can fully connect with our spirit, in our spirit, as who we truly are, okay? Because the more that we do this work and the more that we co-labor with God and go down the time spiral and do all the other stuff that we've been talking about doing, it's going to allow us to connect more freely in our spirit and to more fully live out of our spirit. It's like all that stuff that needs to be redeemed is all the noise that's on the line, all the chatter. It's all that stuff that can knock us in and out of the spirit when we're engaging in the spirit. And then the enemy's able to come and just push a button and we just got knocked out of the spirit because of whatever that button's about. You know, whether it's shame, fear, rejection, abandonment, being the victim, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's just darkness. And so so that's where I see us at in this process that we've been walking out, is we're beginning to transition from a place of understanding what it means to be lords to begin to entering into a place of what does a king look like in the heavens? What is a son manifesting as a king look like, and how do we take our place? And then the Lord just beginning to release, you know, not only the revelation, but then that power and authority for us to sit in that place and do whatever that is for us to do. Not only for us here locally, it's for us here locally. You know, I don't believe that we're in a place to really do anything in the universe yet, you know, but we will at some point grow into a place where we will have, you know, universe, galaxy, whatever, influence as we're just continuing to faithfully steward where we're at. So, and I say it a lot, I've said it a lot, just rest in where you're at, and there's grace for where you're at, and just discern and know where you're at and what God's doing right now today. And then just let everything else just, he'll cause everything else to fall into place. So just let him just move you through that process. And don't, you know, don't fall into condemnation. Don't, just, you know, try not to open the door to the allowing the enemy to come in and just totally push against you, cause you to stumble and fall and just backpedal and all that stuff. But just stay in a place of rest. And just allow the grace that's on your life bring you, continue to move you forward and to grow you into the place that God has for you as a mature son, you know, complete and whole in him as a son.
Amen. Now that, I mean, Sean's exactly right. The whole point, I think, of why the Father wants to release this now is just getting back to that, you know, some of the stuff that we've been talking about is it's going through your spiral as part of that soul restoration, your lifespan spiral, your generational portion of it, and just getting back to the soul restoration like we talked about last week and getting to that true identity. You know, and like I said at the end of last week, all this is just the beginning. I mean, this is just God getting us to the starting line as a restored, manifested son. That's what the whole purpose of this is to get to your identity. You can't do that until you go through the soul stuff.
Hi. I think this question might have already kind of been answered a little bit, but I've heard of different models of generational healing. And so, for example, one of them was like Paul Cox. I think he would, you know, there's this, I think he calls it rapid inner healing, and so there's these rings around people, and he kind of slowly moves towards people, discovering like either walls or inner vows or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and breaks them down. And then he, you know, for generational healing, I think they operate what it sounds like, or what I was learning was kind of like off of words of knowledge. Oh, 14 generations back. Oh, 32 generations back. We see this. We things like that, and then. You know, even another thing was at one point, I guess the Lord had showed him like a DNA strand and magnified it. And so they were able to see things on the DNA strand that they would break off. So I guess my question is this just another, you think that maybe those things are just levels of freedom that you can walk out your generational healing and this is just more of a thorough one, or...
Well, I think all those things are good, and all of those things are all encompassed in this. Before I saw the time spiral, I had already been praying through my DNA and my chromosomes and doing a lot of that work. And when the Father showed me this, he showed me that, again, it's just a more encompassing form of that. The generational rings, you know, I mean, each one of these here is a generational ring as you're coming down. But this is more of a, he was showing me what time, how time is constructed, how a manifest son is supposed to view time, and then inside of that construct is your lifespan and your generations, and then taking all of that stuff, the Paul Cox and all of that thing, and just applying it to this. But as you're walking down the spiral, I don't know if you're here when I was talking about the plugs, the black plugs and red plugs and all of that. You know, the black plugs is your DNA stuff. That's the corrupted seed inside of your DNA. The DNA, the double helix, that's, you know, part of your spiral. And when I originally was praying through my DNA, that's in my chromosomes, that's the way I was seeing it. And I would see the little plugs in there and go through there and pull them out. Again, this, in my opinion, this is just more, nothing wrong with any of that stuff. This is just a more, a total encompassing of all of that. And it's viewed more towards redeeming time and then getting back to your true identity. You have to go through your DNA. It's very important. You have to do that. Whether you're interacting with the time spiral when you do that, or whether you're just interacting with your DNA and you're just praying over your chromosomes and DNA, it really doesn't matter at that point. It's just as long as you're doing it. The purpose of this, again, is just to go down and to get to that foundation of your true identity. So I would just encourage you just to do it however Holy Spirit shows you to do it. I think that, again, this is just more of an encompassing deal with time and to get back to your identity. And the DNA and the generational stuff is a huge part of that.
And the thing that I wanted to point out is the another facet or dynamic of the time spiral is God is giving us he's revealing to us what creation looks like. The dimensions, the realms, dimensions, and planes. And so as we can begin to see creation for what it is, then we can begin to move in creation. So it's, you know, for right now, we need to stay focused on just letting God do the restoration of the soul, the finished work within us, so that as we learn and understand, I know that's where this is going. We're going to be moving in and around creation through the dimensions. So, and this is going to help us to see creation as it is. So as we see things in the spirit, and see, the funny thing is, you know, we're going to have to redefine the word spirit, because we're talking about creation, but we're also talking about the unseen part of creation, right? So where's that line between spirit and creation? So as God gives us, you know, a visual or basically a description of what creation looks like, it's only going to help us, you know, more and more begin to understand the dimensions and realms and moving in and out of those things, because, you know, that's what people in the occult world do, illegally moving through realms and dimensions, because they've traded for that power and they can do that. So as sons, it's going to come down to us beginning to no, you're not going to do that anymore, because this is my space now. And so that would be the other part of helping us to see what creation looks like, so that we can begin to move in and around and through creation as God would have us to do it.
Along those lines, I just feel like I'm supposed to ask this question. Maybe people on the internet, I don't know. Why is this important? Can I just go to heaven and not do all this work? I just feel like it's an important question.
Why is this important, Shane?
That's a really good question. I touched on that a little bit last week, but again, to keep it simple for tonight without talking about all the other dimensions and all that stuff, the reason why it's important is because the Father wants all of us to get our true identity. And going through your spiral, praying through your DNA, the soul restoration, all of that stuff, again, when you're going through layer by layer, like I was telling Christy earlier, you can hit some of that stuff in one layer and it be redeemed there, but if you continue to go down your spiral, you might encounter it again. So it just keep going down and down, and the whole purpose of it is to get to our true identity as a son. The mandate that the Father has for us here, we're not going to be able to carry it out until we become a son. I mean, we are a son, but until we understand it, and we don't understand it right now. That's, in a nutshell, the biggest purpose of this is to rediscover our true identity of who we are, to remember, to become reaware of who we are, who we were created to be before the foundation of the world, that we're a perfect reflection of the Trinity. You know, he wants us to delight in us, in ourselves, the way he delights in us. That's the reason why he created us. Okay, and until we get back to the remembrance of who we are, that's when we can step in to our mandate and we can start ushering in the glory into this dimension. So, I mean, that's kind of the short answer to that question. But, Sean, do you want anything to add there, or Virginia?
Yeah, I just, I really felt like the Lord just dropped this in my spirit as an answer, as an additional answer to that question. It's just a maturing, it's part of our maturing process. And he reminded me of 1 John chapter 2, when it says, starting in verse 12, I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you little children because you have known your father. I have written to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. So I just felt like the Lord was saying that it's just the maturing process. It's not, yeah, we'll go to heaven. You know, it's not about that. It's just the maturity that it takes to be able. We've been given all authority positionally, but we grow into it practically, you know, to be able to do those things that you talked about. So it was really interesting that, you know, the young men are having to do with overcoming our own personal adversaries. So that's dealing with the junk in our soul and getting victory over our own, in our own life, and properly stewarding our own life. But then fathers, in both of those places, it talks about knowing the eternal God. So it's basically talking about, I think that's our true identity as an eternal being, and knowing God in that way, in that dimension. So I think it's like, if that's where we want to go, which it is, then this is the process that helps us to be able to get there.
That's good. Any other questions? Do you have a question? Okay. Well, I just want to, the only other thing I want to do then, just to kind of wrap it up, is guys, there's a lot more to this. I just think, you know, for now, Holy Spirit just kind of wants to leave it alone there. You know, maybe a couple of months, or as the Holy Spirit leads, we'll go a little bit deeper or unpack some of this stuff. But just to kind of end it, all I want to do is just practically engage it. So that's what we'll do now. Teresa, can you play something soft? Sure.
A little bit in response to, Heather, what you were commenting about, the different modules and those kind of things. I think part of what is happening is, as we mature, there's a greater understanding that we're getting. I mean, Virginia and I have been working in inner healing for 25 years, and, you know, we did the generational curses and that whole thing. But it's like, as we mature, there's a greater level of understanding because of what needs to take place within us. Because I truly believe That when all that revelation was released to, you know, the Sanfords and Paul Cox and that whole kind of generation that kind of opened the door for the, all that stuff, it was almost like they received a level of grace in those things, and it was kind of like math. You know, 1 + 1 = 2, and we operated and functioned in that. But there is mysteries and things that are being unveiled to this generation that is deals with a little more of like an algebra level problem and geometry. And it doesn't mean when you're doing algebra, you don't do away with the multiplication and addition. You just are adding things to it. And so I think that's part of what's being unveiled now, is that there are things of levels of understanding that we're gaining now, that where we now understand why 1 + 1 = 2, instead of just doing it because that's all we knew to do. Now we kind of understand it a little bit better.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, just adding to the foundation that's already been laid. I'm not sure how exactly this is going to look like. So just to start off with, if you want to stand, you can. If you want to sit, you can. Just whatever you feel comfortable with doing. But I just want to, just as a body, just enter in and just engage some of this stuff, just so everybody that's here has some kind of platform to stand on when you're at home and going through this on your own. And again, I think just as a body, that's just going to help kind of seal what the Father's released. So I would just ask you just to close your eyes and let's just enter in. If you've got a special way that you typically enter in, do that. If you don't, I'll just kind of walk you through it real quick, and let's just engage. Just picture that spiral in front of you and just start engaging with Holy Spirit with it. So Father, right now we just thank you for what you're revealing. Father, we just embrace it and we receive it. So Father, right now we just step up to the veil and we just pull back the veil and we step through, Father, into the realm of the Spirit. Father, we step through tonight for the purpose of engaging our spiral. So Father, we just ask you right now to reveal to each and every one of us our individual spiral, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for revealing our spiral to us. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come stand beside us as we stand on our spiral right now, to engage with us and just to help us navigate it, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just begin to walk down your spiral. Just to walk down the path that the Father's just laid out in front of you, and just picture what's there, if anything. And if nothing's there, that's fine. Just continue to move down it. Jesus, right now we just take your blood and we just apply it to the layers as we walk. As we walk counterclockwise down this spiral of our life, we just plead the blood of Jesus over it. For everything to be revealed so it can be restored. For every wound in our soul to be revealed so it can be healed. Wounds from our generation, wounds from our lifespan, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for all things being revealed. And Father, right now we just pray specifically into our DNA. Father, as we walk down this spiral, Father, reveal the black plugs to us. Reveal the corrupt seed, Father. Reveal the things that are in our DNA that were not there at creation. Father, we know that you don't want those things inside of our DNA, that they were put there through the fall. They were put there from the fallen ones. So, Father, we just ask that they be revealed right now, that they be removed, that our DNA be recoded back to what it was in the beginning. Before mother, before father, before genealogy, when you breathed life into Adam, we command that encoding to come back into our DNA. Father, I pray that as everyone in this room engages with this spiral in their own time, Father, that you reveal generational layers, that you reveal illegal trafficking in the generational line, that you show them specifically what layer it's on so that they can travel to that layer and that it can be dealt with. And Father, that once they deal with it, Holy Spirit, you guide them and show them how to deal with it. But once it's dealt with, it's done. It's under the blood. That layer has been healed. That plug that has been removed, that has left a pothole, that the blood of the Lamb completely heal and merge that pothole so that layer is made perfect. It's made the way it was originally made by you in the beginning. Thank you, Father, for restoration. The restoration of all things. Father, I thank you for our true identity that awaits at the bottom of the spiral, that sits on the foundation. Our true identity, who we were before the foundation of the world, who we are as the perfect reflection of the Trinity, who we are as the fourth face. Father, we just awaken our true identity right now. We thank you for the process of the spiral. We thank you for the process of soul restoration and generational healing and going down through our spiral. We bless that process and we thank you for it, for the purpose of rediscovering, remembering who we are. So right now, I just speak life to every person in this room's true identity, an awakening, to start awakening that identity in each and every one of us, who we are, who we were before the foundation of the world. And Father, I just speak life and to command that self-awareness to start moving around, to start awakening, to start lifting up its heads. Lift up, you heads, O you gates. We are the ancient gates. And Father, we lift up our heads, we awaken so that the portal can be opened. Father, reveal that to each and every person listening to this message. Reveal that truth and let that truth sink in, Father, into every single one of us. We just bless our true identity. We bless who you created us to be. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for this revelation just to seed in all of us, and for the living water to wash it, to nourish it, to mature us Father, we just pray a hedge of protection over this, that the enemy will not steal it. The enemy will not steal it. It is ours. This revelation is ours, Father, to walk in, to mature in, to steward, to guard, to nurture. And Father, I pray for grace for all of us here to carry that out. I just thank you for the grace, Father. For the grace to handle what's going to start manifesting. For the grace to push through, Father. To push through, because we know the rewards that are waiting for us, Father, are beyond measure. We know that our mandate and our calling on each and every one of us is beyond measure. So, Father, we just receive that tonight. We just receive that tonight, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your breath. For the breath that you breathed over Adam. The breath that you breathed over us before the foundation of the world. The breath that you breathed onto our true identity. We receive that breath in us tonight. Breathe over us again, Father, to reawaken us. To awaken our consciousness, Father, our true identity. Just breathe on us. We just receive that.